One of the things I'm really keen to do as a minister here at St. John's Anglican Cathedral, right in the heart of Parramatta, is to keep my eye on what's going on all around us, especially since we've got the enormous building project right on our doorstep. So recently I signed up on Instagram to follow the Instagram account of Parramatta Square, which is the new development behind the cathedral that's been rapidly built and which soon they'll open up so we have direct access from the cathedral precinct itself. It is tremendously exciting. I was around there even for breakfast this morning. Well, over the past couple of weeks, the Parramatta Square Instagram account has been pushing hard little video stories of all the different food businesses that are that have just opened up. And there's all the usual bars and Italian restaurants, and there's a fusion place, and there's a famous sandwich chain, and there's also this burger chain with their thing called Concrete, which I think is like a frozen yogurt. I am very keen. I will, on your behalf, sample many of those different things, hopefully over the next few months, just to, you know, better get acquainted with our local community. What's really interesting about all these things going on to social media, all these little adverts, is it's all about the customer experience. It's all about what you and I will experience when we walk through their door. It's going to be as good as possible for us. Look at this great food that we're going to give you, they say. Look how happy it's going to make you feel. And of course, there's no wonder that they talk this way. There's no wonder they think that's appealing to us, because that's the society that we live in. We live in a consumer society. It's all about what we get out of it. Now, I think if we're honest, we have to admit that we often walk into church thinking the same way. What is it that I can get out of church? What will my experience be here like this morning? And that's a normal human response to what's going on. And to some extent, that's important. So as ministers, as we've opened up the church building again, we have thought about what will it be like for people as they come? What will the check-in experience be like? How much of what we would normally have done pre-COVID are we able to do in the building itself? How will they like the stuff that's on the screen? How will they like the stuff that's live? And so on. Even as we put together the online service over the past year or so, we've been thinking, how will people enjoy it? What will it do for them? And yet, there's a real danger in that, isn't there? There's a real danger that we become just consumers as we come to church. We concentrate on making church as good as it possibly can be, and we demand church to be better and better and more of what I like from church, whether that be the right kind of music or the right style of service or a liturgy or not a liturgy or the right type of day or whatever it may be. What I want to challenge us to do today as we listen to God's word and think hard about it is to maybe just flip our mindset on that. I'm hoping that we'll do that together as we open up Romans chapter 12.
Today's Bible reading comes from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, reading from verse 1 through to verse 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord.
Chapter 12, verse 1 opens up with what are, of course, very famous verses, and we looked at them even just a while ago in our series in Romans. Let me read them to you again. Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." It's one huge verse laden with meaning. The therefore, of course, makes us always ask what's the therefore there for? And it's therefore in view of God's mercy, in view of what's come before. Well, what does Paul mean by God's mercy? Well, he's got, in some sense, the whole of those previous 11 chapters in mind. And it is one long exposition, one long setting out of the gospel, the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So it contains those vital truths that we're all sinners, no matter who we are, what our religious background is. We're all, nobody can claim to have been good. Nobody can claim to be in God's right standing. That means we all have the same problem. The next stage, of course, Paul says, is we all have the same solution, and that is Jesus himself, Jesus who died on our behalf, took upon himself the punishment that you and I deserve, like a sacrificial lamb, his blood poured out, so that if we have faith in him, that is, if we trust him and his death on the cross, we might be forgiven of those wrongdoings, which we've now discovered all of us share in. It's the gospel is also the resurrection, which Paul tells us about, the resurrection which guarantees new life, not just our own resurrection into the future, but this new thing that God will do within us, the new man out of the old, and so on. The coming of the Spirit who makes us into a new person, orientated in a different way. And then, of course, the last few chapters, there's one more astounding piece of God's mercy that sometimes we forget about, which is that he has taken people who are diametrically opposed to one another, the Jew and the Gentile, and he's brought them together into the one body. And he's done that in a quite remarkable way that he outlines in chapters 9 to 11. And all of this together, Paul says, is all God's mercy. And in view of it, in view of this incredible thing that God has done, not just to us as individuals, but in forming this body together, Paul says, offer your bodies, that is your lives, as sacrifices. The sacrifice he has in mind, of course, is one of those Levitical sacrifices deep in the Old Testament. Not the first sacrifices where an animal is sacrificed to pay for the sin. No, that modeled the death of Jesus. He has in mind the later sacrifices where the Israelite would offer up in thanksgiving for what God had done, another gift. And that gift, Paul says now, is it's us. Out of deep gratitude, just astounded by what God has done for us as individuals, but bringing us together into this body, we ought to give of ourselves. But what does that look like? What does that look like? What does it mean to offer up your body as a sacrifice? What does it mean for this to be our spiritual act of worship? Again, the worship language is from the Old Testament. It's from the tent of meeting and the tabernacle and the sacrifices, but it's got this much broader application. He doesn't just mean what I do in church on a Sunday or whenever I meet. He means the whole of my life, a whole of life given in response to God for what he has done. Well, what would that look like? We don't have to guess. Again, golden rule, of course, friends, when reading the Bible, when I'm asking myself a question, the wrong place to look is up in the air. What could that now mean? The right place to look is, well, down in my Bible. Keep looking. Let's keep looking at what Paul says. What does it mean to offer my body? Well, not least this. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So it's going to mean at least a change of mind. It's going to mean recognizing that the world thinks in a certain way, and now I am called to think in a different way. I'm called by the Spirit. That's implied in what he says here and what's come before. I'm going to allow the Spirit now to work in me, to change me, but I'm going to be active in it as well. I'm going to be going, how do I need to think about things differently? How do I need to think about things in a way that I know God says that is the right way to think about it. And we together, St. John's, we need to be thinking about this as we think about what it means for us to start to gather in person, face to face again in our church. Remember, our whole vision series is Transform Church, Same Hope. We're talking about the same hope that Paul was writing about. And now we're going to talk about some of the transformation that Paul is writing about here. Remember that key word? Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How might church be transformed in view of the mercy of God? Well, what is it going to look like? Paul, the apostle, is pretty clear with the church in Rome, and therefore pretty clear with us. While this letter, of course, was written to them, it was also written for our benefit. Let's see how Paul talks to them. Verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." By the grace given me. What Paul is saying here is actually by the authority of apostleship that Jesus has given me. I think that's what he's saying because of what he says right at the start of Romans. Listen to this. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. "Through Jesus and for his name's sake, we," that is the original apostles, "received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith." And now by that same grace, that God choosing to do this in the life of Paul, calling him to be an apostle, to speak of the gospel and the obedience that comes from it, Paul says, "By that same grace, I am now appealing to you. I say to every one of you." So just so he's clear, he's going, this is not just for the leadership. This is just not for a particular sort of person. This is for every single person in the church. Here's his word that he has. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now, humility. Don't think that I'm more special than I really am. Now, how that is applied is going to be really important to us now. And what's vital is that we don't make the mistake that we can often make in reading the Bible, which is that we think we know where a passage is going. We think we know what theme it is setting up. And so we kind of then just filter everything else through that, or we almost start to switch off and not pay attention. You see, this theme of humility is one that Paul will raise many times in his letters and in slightly different ways. For example, when he writes to the Corinthians, who were, let's face it, very proud often of themselves, he will say things like, the body is made of many parts, but the eye cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. And, you know, the hand cannot say to the nose, I don't need you either. Every part needs everybody else. So we don't walk around saying, ooh, I'm an eye, I'm a foot, I'm the most important part. That's what he says to the church in Corinth, using the same kind of language. But it's important for us to realize that's not what he's addressing here. So when he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, it's not that kind of pride that he's got in mind. Not that kind of puffing yourself up that he's got in mind. It's not the rush to be seen to be important that Paul is addressing here. He's actually got something else in mind, and we need to listen to him very carefully as he says it. So verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So here's a different spin on the same basic truth. Yes, we are. Everybody has different bits of it. Hands, nose, some of us hair, some of us not, ears, mouth. They all serve to do different things and they all work together. But this isn't about one bit of the body saying I'm more important than the other. It's, see it very carefully, it's about, end of verse 4, these members, these parts do not all have the same function. But verse 5, each member belongs to all the others. I belong to you, and you, and you, and you, and you together as it were, the whole body of Christ, the church. And you belong to me and to you 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 together. In the same way that my nose belongs to my ear and my eyes and my mouth and even my chin. I don't know what my chin's good for, but there it is. And my feet and my hands and so on. Each bit belongs to the other. Each bit is required for the other to function well. And here's now the key bit. And if therefore it does not do what it is designed to do, the other bits won't function well. The other bits won't function well. Now, sometimes bits of the body don't work because they just don't work. I have one bit of my body that is exactly like that. It's here, just here, and it's my thyroid gland. I have what's called an underactive thyroid. I'm hypothyroidic, and it doesn't work. The thyroid is there to keep your metabolism going, and there's all sorts of side effects that happen if it doesn't function. And so every day I have to take pills. And a couple of weeks ago, I ran out of those pills. And rather than going straight to the doctor, I left it for about a week or so. Now, you're not going to die overnight if you don't take your thyroid pills. But what does happen is you feel a whole bunch of stuff slow down. And then other bits of the body start to go, I can't do my job properly without the thyroid. And it all just goes a bit blah. And it's not the other bits of the body's fault. It desperately needs the thyroid to do its job well. Anyway, went to the doctor, got my pills, feeling much, much better. And all the other bits of my body are thanking my thyroid for it. And most of all, they're thanking me for actually realizing that I needed to do something about it and get it back going. Paul says, in the same way, you and I need to be doing our thing, whatever our thing is, because the rest of the body needs it. We're not all the same. We're not just all like those, what's that? We're not just all individual soldiers in an army where the jobs are interchangeable. That's actually not what it's like. God has made each one of us into different people, different parts of the body, and each part is necessary for the whole to work together. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself that way. I don't know if you've ever thought and said, actually, yeah, I'm kind of like a hand or a foot or a thyroid gland. That's a weird thing to say, isn't it? But have you ever thought of yourself that way? If I don't do my bit, then the whole body together is not going to function properly. Well, this is how Paul wants us to think right now. So what will it look like if I'm doing my bit? Well, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. So now we all have different gifts. We're not expecting everybody to be the same. God has made us in all sorts of different shapes and sizes. There are people who are good at talking. There are people who are good at listening and gently making people feel that they're welcome. There's other people who are absolute crack shots at administration. There's other people who have gifts in maybe music. There's other people who are great, great prayers, and so on and so on. People with hospitality and the gift of just evangelizing, maybe. Some people just do that really, really well, don't they? The whole evangelism thing. We've all been working hard in our growth groups over the past few weeks on working on our testimonies and how do we tell our story, incorporating God's story to other people's stories. But I don't know if you've experienced this in our growth group. Some people have really struggled with that, and other people have just gone to it like a duck to water. That's okay. God has made us all different. In his grace, he's chosen to give one person one gift and another person another gift. But, and here's the thing, he has given each one of us gifts. So why aren't we using them? I reckon there's at least three reasons why we're not using them. First, because we're actually not even thinking that we should be using them. Because we have taken a bit of a consumer mentality, or let's face it, if we're honest, a bit of a lot of a consumer mentality about church and our gathering together, the things we were thinking about last week. We have been thinking about, not about what I can do, but about what church can do for me. And we did address that slightly last week. So we did address, if I'm still sitting at home or wherever it is I'm watching the live stream, the online service, and it's just because, well, it's working for me right now. This is working for me. And it's for some of us, not everybody, for some of us, it's too much work to make the effort to meet one another face to face. Then actually, there's a danger there, isn't there, that I may have slipped into. I may have slipped into that consumer mentality. So that's the first reason. But even if we walk through the door, I could still be saying to myself, well, what am I going to get out of it this week? There we are again. So that is equally true for us, whether we're sitting at home on our lounge or sitting on one of these pews on a Sunday. That could be a reason. The second reason could be that we compare ourselves to other people and we say, I'm not like them. I can't do what they are doing. I could never be a Bible teacher, or I could never sing, or I could never be a welcomer, or whatever it may be. To which Paul says, well, of course. It's quite possible you could not really be doing those things, because that's not the member of the body that God has made you to be. Let's stop trying to be other people, and let's actually allow ourselves to be the people that God has made us. Let's work hard at working out, well, by God's grace, what gift is it that he has given me? Now, we may need some help in doing that. For some of us, that's a hard thing to do. It could be even we come from a place where no one's ever said that we've got much to contribute to anything. And that's a real shame if that's your story. But nevertheless, the Bible says that despite you being told that, it's simply not true. It may be, therefore, we need other Christians to say to us gently, actually, David, I think you actually would be really good at this. I think God has given you a gift in this. And you know what? There's only one way to find out. Give it a crack. Or it could just simply be that I'm so overwhelmed by what other people do that I'm just not prepared to do the things that actually I know that I can do. But actually, there is great joy, I want to say to you, in just doing the thing that you think you're gifted to do. And if you're not sure, give it a crack. Let's try it. Let's see how we go. The third reason, of course, is that it just hadn't occurred to me in the first place that I should be doing anything. That is just not the view of church that I've had. In which case, please be gently encouraged, or perhaps prompted and pushed, whichever one it needs to be, by the grace given to the Apostle Paul. He says to every one of us, we need to do this. And this, the Apostle Paul says, this is not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. So I think it's quite clear that here in Romans 12, to not think of myself more highly than I ought is to actually realize that I am the one that needs to serve with everybody else, not one that needs to be served. That's what it's all about here. I need to recognize that I am a member of the body, and the body together serves one another in love. So again, there's a gentle challenge for us here, isn't there? As we think about these things together, just as there was last week, there are great truths for us to embrace and to be delighted about and to wonder and marvel at God at and to give thanks for him. But alongside that comes this gentle challenge. And I think that's why the Apostle Paul says, by the grace given to me, he is making that gentle challenge to each one of us to think about what we're going to do with this. Now, what is this going to look like for us? What is it that we actually need to be doing? I just want to say it has been a tremendous encouragement over the last 8 or 9 months, whatever it's been now, of our COVID restrictions, to see so many of you doing this just instinctively. We've had some organized examples of it, but also lots of just spontaneously, organically happening instances. So we've had our little helps team, haven't we? I had a wonderful group of people, mainly but not restricted to what used to be the 5 p.m. congregation, came very early to the leadership and said, we recognize there will be other people who will be struggling as the lockdowns happen, and they were pretty severe at the time, with computer stuff and with shopping and things like that. What can we do to help out? And that was lovely to see them do that and to grapple with it, and particularly wonderful to see people use the gifts and the skills that they had in particular ways. One person had really good organizing skills, that person set up the structures, other people had different skills with computers and so on, and used them. But what was even more encouraging for us was just the general attitude that we're here now to serve those who need our help, and together the body of Christ was loving each other. It's also great to see people persevere with each other with making church work. So people making that extra effort to, for example, get online, to install the software that they needed to install, to even a couple of people buying tablets and computers so that they could keep engaging with each other. And particularly when there were those of us who found technology maybe a little bit harder than others, just that sticking at it, persevering with it, doing it not just for themselves, but because they recognize that for us to keep meeting together in any way that we could was really important. They were making the effort, not just for themselves, but so they could love other people. And we particularly saw that, didn't we, in our growth groups. The number of people working really hard to make growth groups work online, that has been exhausting to work hard in our online groups, making that happen. And yet so many of us did it. Thank you so much for offering up your bodies as living sacrifices in that way. Just the other things people have done, the continued desire to give towards the vision here, and especially for those for whom giving electronically was a brand new and even a difficult thing. Thank you again for loving in that way. There's another great example of us not thinking so highly of ourselves that we couldn't do things in a different way. We couldn't bend ourselves, but actually allowing ourselves to be transformed, not to have to conform to a particular way of doing things, but instead changing it. And as we've reported in our vision booklet, EFT numbers, the number of people giving by EFT, way up over the start of the year. We've actually put that in the booklet because we actually think that is a significant work of God's grace in helping us adapt and keep going. And just the ongoing giving as well. Thank you so much for that. Now, Paul, of course, does give us a list of specific examples of what this might look like. So he says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. God has made us in different ways. So it could be prophesying, he says, by which I think he means that general sort of just being able to speak about what God has done and maybe bring shine a fresh light of understanding upon it. Serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, he says. If you can do that, do it generously. If it's leadership, do it well, do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, do so cheerfully. The temptation, of course, is that we hone in on those particulars and we'll miss out on the more general point he's making. You see, I would hate for you to walk away and say, which one of these must I be doing? Should I be doing the mercy, or should I be doing the giving, or should I be doing the leadership or the teaching? That's not the point he's making. The point he's making, he's established much earlier up in the passage. The point he's making is this: we each have a part. And that's actually going to be really important for us to get our head around in this weird in-between stage where we're all actually now coming back to be face-to-face with one another. We're hoping you will do that, by the way. We're actually just right now as I speak, we're busy opening up more space in this cathedral building because the relaxation of some of our restrictions means there can be even more and more people here. As we all start to gather again, but we're not quite up to doing what we were doing before, some of the more formal opportunities for being parts of the body are lacking. But that doesn't mean that there's not the more general opportunity for us to walk through the door and say, not what can I get out of this, but what is my part in this body here? How might I contribute positively? And there is plenty of ways for you to do that. It's just the simple acknowledgement of the people around you, the working hard to be back in relationship with them. And you can do that from 1.5 meters distance just as well as from sitting right next to them. It's the taking part in what's going on. It's the not giving up on our growth group when it all gets a little bit difficult for me to attend, and so on and so on. But it's also a moment, isn't it, as we think a little bit more broadly about what 2021 might look like, to think again, well, actually, what could I be doing? What gifts do I think God has given me? And then rather than thinking about myself by comparing myself to other people, oh, I could never do that, or they're doing that, or whatever, actually saying, well, maybe I do have a part to play. Maybe I should be doing something here. And look, we would just love to be hearing from you on that basis. There are so many different things to be done around here. There are things that we're used to doing. There are things that kind of we used to have rosters for, and they're the typical churchy things that we think people should be doing. But there's also the other things that many of us are made to do that we've not done before. I was having a conversation a while ago with somebody about their skills in organizing the way that information is displayed to other people. Now, that's actually going to be a very, very useful thing for us going forward. I've had some ideas about how that may be used and putting them together with other people who know what that information is and that we might want to display to other people. But I didn't say, is there anybody with those skills? They came to me and said, I think God has given me this gift. How ought we to use it? We really at this moment want to hear from you. What is it you think you could be doing? What is it as you, let's use Paul's words. What is it you, as you think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you, what is it that you think that you ought to be doing as a member of the body of Christ at St. John's? What is your part going to be? Let's talk about it. Talk to your growth group about it. Talk to your Christian friends, and particularly those at St. John's, about it. Let's explore different things that we could be doing together. And let's not be afraid of that, therefore letting us take what we do into different directions. We all will hold to the same hope. We are not shifting from that. But we need to allow God to transform church. And he will transform us by us being who we were meant to be. If we express the very people that we are, that this passage of the Bible says we are, all different members of the body for one another, if we express that, then it will be that church will have to be transformed in different ways. What that will be like, we don't know. It may be small things, it may be big things. But we will be being led by being grounded in that same hope. So church, what will it be for you? What will it mean for you to consider yourself with sober judgment? For some of us, that act of service is simply going to be, perhaps, actually coming to church and encouraging one another by our presence. Maybe, and we said this last week and we want to say it again to you, maybe next week is the week. There is more space than ever here for us to do that. Maybe it's going to be the way that we come. Maybe it's going to be the way that I walk in saying, not what am I getting out of this, but what do I bring? What is my role as a member of Christ's body here at St. John's? And maybe it's starting to think about very specific things that you could be doing and starting to chat to us, maybe your growth group leaders, maybe your congregation pastor, all about those different things. It could, of course, be stuff that you don't need our approval for. You don't need our approval, for example, to ring up another church member and say, hey, how are you going? Haven't seen you for a while. You don't need our approval to recognize that someone's going through a bit of a tricky time and say, can I bring a meal round for you? Can I help you out with that? There are so many things that don't need our approval. And certainly, you're spending valuable time when you could be doing that, coming and trying to get it. We just need to be getting on with those things as well, loving one another and serving one another in these ways. Now's the moment for us to consider ourselves with sober judgment and work out what we are going to do. What's our part? In what way am I a member in this body? And in what way I can do, what does Paul say, what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray together, church. Father, we thank you for your mercy towards us, your mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, in his resurrection, and in the promise of his return. And we thank you again for sustaining us and doing more than that, transforming us through this incredibly strange 2020. We pray now as we look forward and we get the sense of a fresh start, of new beginnings and the potential, if need be, for more change, that you would do your work in us, both in us as individuals and in us as a church together. Help us to consider ourselves with sober judgment. Help us to recognize, either on our own or in our church family together, those gifts that you have given us, and then help us to use them to serve one another. Father, save us from being consumers. Save us from seeing what we can get out of it. Make us a body that loves one another, that serves one another, and that does your good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we pray this in Jesus' great name. Amen. Amen.